I kind of just wanted to fire up the intro just to air it again, but I didn't, Jimmy. I didn't. Here
you
we
mean
are.
You mean the 200th episode one?
Yeah, I just love it. So good. But
it was really good. But you can put it up on Scraps by itself.
Yeah, that's true. I've got a mixtape dropping on Scraps. I had to wait until this drop to do that, too. But can't wait to see how many copyright claims we get for that one. Like, we're singing Ass Man and Stephanie's theme and Judas.
I think we'll be okay. They're covers. I think we're
okay. Yeah. Yeah, but we had a super chat from our dude Wild Boy that I missed. So sorry, Wild Boy. He said, where would the world of wrestling be if Triple H never married Stephanie? Would NXT still exist?
That's a very good question.
I don't think it would.
No,
I don't. I think they'd still be developmental. I don't think we'd have an NXT third brand. I think they would have said, well, it didn't work with ECW, so it wouldn't work here.
I absolutely agree. I think it would be on the network.
Yeah.
And I think it would be strictly developmental guys. And then as soon as they think they're ready, they bring them up and they bury them. I don't think they would be taking an extended period of time developing programs the way that they do. So I think it would be a lot different if Hunter wasn't there. Now, I will say, sorry to cut you off. I will say, and we've talked about this, Hunter to me has not been as impressive over the last 1 or 2 years as he was prior. And I think part of it is because now he's kind of, you know, he's fully on the Kool-Aid and he's kind of talking in McMahon language and you see the change. Like you've even said on the media calls, you see the change.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's because they're prepping him to take over, but you see it. It's like whenever Stephanie does an interview, I just kind of ho-hum through it because all she does is the buzzwords all the time.
Yes.
And now he's starting to kind of go in that direction too now.
Yeah, he is. Here's the thing. I do think NXT would exist because before Triple H really took the handle of NXT, it already kind of was a developmental thing. It already kind of was going to be that, but
what
not
was the time, FCW?
Yeah, FCW. I think they would have either kept it as FCW because quite frankly, as much as I love it here in Kentucky, it's a lot more appealing to be in Florida than it is to be in Louisville or Cincinnati or wherever the hell they had Deep South or USWA or anything like that. It's a lot more beneficial. And now those were a product of the area and the situation facilitating WWE. Now WWE facilitates the situation. They create the opportunity. But I think they would have tried to do that. It just would have been FCW type of stuff.
Yeah, it's possible. Initially, didn't they choose FCW Florida because of Steve Kern? Wasn't that the reason?
Yes.
And but when you look at it now, I mean, if you want to talk, I don't want to bore people with logistics, but when you think of Florida, tax rate, major international airport, Orlando makes all the sense in the world for them when it comes to finances and logistics. But yeah, I thought initially Steve Kern kind of brought them to Tampa, and then now Orlando, it just makes perfect sense for them to be there for those reasons.
People love List Goes On Live. Yeah, I'm not making you all pay a super chat to throw these up here. You guys are our subscribers, so we love you too. But yeah, let's see what you got, Jimmy.
Well, I wanted to ask about the latest. So here we are with this latest COVID outbreak. The WWE champion test positive. He's got to be out for 2 weeks. You reported that NXT is back full-time 5 days a week, but they're still only testing 1 day. Is that still the case? Last you heard, today, whatever, that's still the case. Even after, you know, the news kind of went public and whatever, they're still doing it.
Yes. Yes. They don't give a shit. They really don't care.
Have you ever seen, did you ever watch any old SNL stuff?
How old?
Like early 80s.
Yeah, but it wasn't for me.
Okay. Do you know who Garrett Morris is?
No.
So here's what I want to happen. I don't know if there's a way that you and I could somehow fund this. Here's what I want to do. There was a sketch that Chevy Chase did with Garrett Morris. Chevy Chase, you know, from National Lampoon's. So here's a skit he did with Garrett Morris. They called it News for the Hard of Hearing. Okay. Chevy Chase was at the news desk on SNL. And in the little window, you know, the little box, Garrett Morris was there. And he, you know, so you're thinking News for the Hard of Hearing, you're thinking he's going to do sign language.
Yes.
What they did was Chevy Chase at the new desk, he'd be like, let's talk about our latest story. Garrett Morris would go, let's talk about our latest story, like that. And that was how they did it. I think that we need to get two people and they do whatever they can to follow around Triple H. And if they're lucky, Vince McMahon. And one of them can be like, you know, Hunter, you really need to work on the COVID-19 protocol. Hunter, you really need to work on the COVID. Maybe if they do that long enough, Hunter will get so sick and tired of it. He'll be like, fuck it. We're testing every day. I've had it with this shit.
I mean, they got me a wealth of sources because people got frustrated about they weren't valued as a result.
It's really, really bad. Really stupid.
Joel Pearl says, I remember this bit. Wow. It says Garrett Morse is the old black guy in Two Broke Girls and the Jamie Foxx show. Okay. I do know him.
Oh, you know him now?
Yeah. I love the Jamie Foxx show.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Let's move on and talk a little bit about, you know what? Let's talk about Ethan Page.
Yeah, let's.
So they do the match at Hard to Kill. I haven't seen it yet. I saw some bits of it. They do the match at Hard to Kill. Ethan Page against Karate Man. Ethan Page, I saw his post on social media, very upset with the way that Impact edited the match. Tell me first why he's upset, and then I'm going to give you my opinion just based on what I know.
So I have a full story on this coming on Fightful Select tomorrow, but he didn't want to do Karate Man there. It's something that he did on his own social media, got it over. It was clear he was on his way out of Impact. This was November. His deal was up end of December, January 1st. He didn't want to do Karate Man, but what he also didn't want to do is have like a violent feud split with Josh Alexander because he wanted to leave things open for the future. Like maybe he comes back. Maybe Josh leaves. Maybe they can team again in the future. Maybe there's indie stuff that they're going to do together. And from what I understand, they were like, well, you get one or the other, either no Karate Man or a violent split. And he found that he wanted to keep things amicable with he and Josh a little bit more. So they ended up doing Karate Man, and he had reservations from the jump. When I found out they were doing Karate Man, I hit him up and he had some reservations. He was like, yep, I don't think they're going to do it the way that I want. And when you create something like that and you put it creatively into the hands of somebody else, I understand there's going to be some frustrations. I did not think it was as bad as what he said.
Oh, really?
It's all subjective. Yep. It really is. But I did not think it was as bad. I do think editors should have shown it to him beforehand.
100%. So,
like, you got to give him that respect. Also, they had him filming this in November. What was on that pay-per-view in January, he filmed in November.
Yeah.
This stuff aired 2 weeks after he wasn't even there. And yeah. I knew they were going to try to do that, but yeah.
The only thing I was going to say, I read his quote on Twitter, his criticism, and he kind of made reference to the edit, they made it look like a joke, whatever. The only thing I thought to myself was, what were you expecting? Like this was you versus you filmed on a green screen.
Yeah, and the thing that he had told me personally was, I know it sounds ridiculous, and this is a direct quote from him. It's like, I told them, I know it sounds ridiculous, and I know it sounds stupid to you, but I want Ethan Page and Karate Man to be different people. He was like, as dumb as it sounds, I want that to happen. Now, I can't really speak to how that could have worked, because I don't know his vision. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would have played out, but I do think the thing that he released on his own YouTube weeks ago was better than what Impact did. Not saying that the Impact thing was bad. Right. I liked it, but I just think it was better.
Okay. I don't know. Each his own, I guess.
Yeah. It's hard for me to understand it. I wish I could get him to go on the record about it, but he does not want to speak about Impact. He doesn't want to talk negatively about them because he spent a lot of time there.
Sure. No, sure. Alexa Bliss. So I despise seeing Asuka act terrified when Asuka is the Raw Women's Champion, one half of the Tag Team Champions. I despise seeing Asuka get annihilated once Alexa Bliss changed. You know, once all of a sudden she's in a black shirt, she got black lipstick on, completely wipes out Asuka. I hated seeing the finish when Asuka was in control on offense. Then suddenly she gets stuck in Sister Abigail, and Alexa just sits there for like a minute before she actually delivers the move, when Asuka had just been on offense, meaning that Asuka should be fresh.
You know what they should have done?
What?
She should have had the mandible claw on her while she held her there.
Would have been much better. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just hated the whole thing.
This is what they should do. Asuka should be like, you can get crazy, I can get crazier. Because, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have seen her face paint. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, Con,
I'll show people.
Yeah.
Like, it's... yeah, like she can do whatever this is, but do it way, way, way more advanced. And I wouldn't mind if there was like a transition where Alexa gets kind of swapped out there for what this is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other thing too, and I, you know, I know we don't like talking about size because it's pro wrestling and yeah. It's fiction, but if we're being honest, Alexa Bliss is 5 foot nothing. She's like 100 pounds. It's difficult for me as a wrestling fan to see her being the Fiend. Mm-hmm. When the Fiend is this bigger, you know, thick muscled up guy, it's hard for me to see her in that role. It's not for me. I saw somebody on your post Raw show and they said, I like the Fiend Alexa Bliss stuff, but this story's not for me. The whole fire thing and the Randy Orton thing. And I'm just not into any of it. I don't know who's the heel, who's the baby face, who am I supposed to invest in emotionally? Well, I don't know any of that.
Even if they don't have distinct things like that, I just don't want to root for any of them. I did love the Alexa blocking all the offense thing because that showed me a distinct change, and that just looked really badass, honestly. But yeah, this ain't for me. It's not for me. Wild Boy says, any chance of Ethan or Taya showing up in the Rumble? Taya, I would say so. Ethan, I wouldn't. I think that Taya's profile is high enough, not to say that Ethan's isn't. But I think that they would probably have something else in store for Ethan Page if he were to go there.
So let's talk about this. Rumble surprises. They always have anywhere from 2 to 5, maybe. What do you think? Because I think Braun Strowman for sure.
Mm-hmm. Aleister Black, if he counts.
Maybe. I'm sure Damian Priest.
Sounds gender? Like
makes sense. You think, is gender healthy again?
I don't know. He's advertised for that, the superstar spectacle gimmick.
They said featuring. So I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But maybe Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, Brock maybe would be a big one.
So, do you think anybody that surprised you? I was thinking Sean Waltman, but now he's having knee surgery. Unless that's just a ruse.
No, yeah, he says he's having knee surgery 4 days before.
Right. So I wonder if that's a ruse because he's doing it because he wants to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I personally, I'm not going to lie. I've always been a fan of Brock Lesnar. I'm a fan of the realism that comes with Brock Lesnar. I miss Brock Lesnar in the ring. I miss him, so I hope he's one of the surprises.
I hope so too. I'm a dork for the Royal Rumble, but here's this one. Feeling like this year is the year of women's Rumble surprises. Yeah, because they can't dip into the NXT UK pool right now. I'm very, very curious as to how that will work.
Pretty good.
I wish they would do Victoria because a lot of people were excited about last year and it didn't happen. So that's one I would like.
Eva Marie. Makes sense. I could see the Bellas. Maybe Candice Michelle. She was supposed to do the Legends thing. There's probably a way they can fill it up. Now, here's something else. Up until maybe a week or two ago, I thought Bianca Belair was lock.
Yeah,
the Women's Rumble. Now I'm wondering if they got Alexa Bliss primed and ready for that spot. So what do you think?
They have gotten Bianca Belair less buzz. And I liked the ding dong hello segment. I thought that was really cool. But Bianca Belair didn't lose a match for almost like however long it's been. And now I'm looking at things. Oh, let's see. The last time she won a match was Tribute to the Troops. And before last time she won a match on SmackDown was November. Like she has lost 3 straight matches. Yep. Like that's not how you get somebody over.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen them do this before where they have guys on losing streaks for no inexplicable reason.
Somebody says Gail Kim, not a chance.
You're probably going to see Nidia in there before Gail Kim, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'd probably have to contact Gail Kim to get Nidia based on my experience.
Yeah, maybe. Matt Riddle, bless his little heart, Sean Rossap. Riddle.
It was trash.
He is doing what he can, though, to keep the dream alive.
Matt
Riddle, Bill Goldberg. He's doing whatever he can to keep the dream alive. He posted a picture on Twitter.
I thought you meant the foot stomp, not the hilarious Gilbert picture. That ruled.
Yeah, the foot stomp was it spoke for itself in terms of how dumb it was. I'm talking Matt Riddle trying to keep the dream alive. He wants the match of Bill Goldberg. He ain't never going to get the match of Bill Goldberg, but he wants it. He posted a picture with Goldberg on Twitter with the caption, "This stallion is 10 times the man Willie G could ever be."
I love it. I love it.
He's doing whatever he can to keep that hope alive, man.
What's Goldberg going to say now? Yeah, I don't feud with minor leaguers. Okay, well, you feuded with Dolph Ziggler, and he was on Raw. So what are you doing now? What are you doing now, buddy?
Do you remember? Right, you remember TSN's Off the Record?
Mm-hmm.
So back then, they interviewed everybody, right? They were one of the first outlets that ever had Taker in a shoot interview.
Yeah,
they've interviewed everybody. I have always remembered Goldberg on Off the Record because Michael Landsberg, the host, he had a lot of balls, and he would ask the straight-up question. And Bill Goldberg is at his hottest. This is 98, 99. He's at his hottest. And Michael Landsberg says, tell me about Goldberg. What are your thoughts on Goldberg? And Bill Goldberg says, I would ignite him like a wick. And I've always remembered Bill Goldberg saying that he takes shit so fucking seriously.
Oh, seriously.
You know?
That's the thing. That's what I always tell people. Nobody there believes that Goldberg can beat up Matt Riddle in real life except for Goldberg.
Right.
Goldberg really thinks that he could beat up Matt Riddle and that Matt Riddle would not even be an issue for him and right. that he's doing Matt Riddle a favor by not kicking his ass. He does not realize that Matt Riddle would walk him like a fucking dog and it wouldn't. And after that, Riddle could fight somebody else and probably beat them too. It would be when I asked Riddle how long would it take, he said maybe a couple minutes. Maybe a couple minutes. If he's on steroids, you never know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? Look at AJ Styles, who, by the way, I think AJ Styles should have a t-shirt made. And I think the t-shirt should say, making chicken salad out of chicken shit since 2016.
Yeah.
He should have that made. Look at AJ Styles. So Impact Wrestling has Hornswoggle out there as the wee nominal one. AJ Styles has asked about it. I saw his quote this past week. He said, hey, if he can make money doing it, good for him. That's what AJ Styles said. If he can make money doing it, good for him. Bill Goldberg looked at Goldberg like, you're a piece of shit. This is insulting. He didn't look at it like, you know what? That's a good payday for Goldberg. This was one of the peaks of wrestling at that time. Goldberg, I think, was a high school football coach. This is a good payday for Dwayne Gill.
Who is well-liked by everybody in wrestling.
Right, right. It's no one's looking at him and saying he's you. You know what I'm saying?
Goldberg's got to be just stoked every time Goldberg comes back, though.
You could see the genuine happiness on his face when they interviewed him after Raw. It was very genuine.
I'd rather, if it takes Bill Goldberg being upset to make Goldberg happy, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. get over it. Get over it.
I agree.
Here's Hannah saying he can't separate the character and the person. He takes it all so seriously. He tries to live his own gimmick. The stupid running your head into shit thing.
Yeah,
like that's so ridiculous. Like, oh, I've got to do it to get pumped up. And the fucking idiots that say, oh, well, he's got to. It's that's how athletes do it. No, they don't. No, they don't. That's how athletes get fucking CTE.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, especially when someone is going to give you their body. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to have a spot in a match where you're picking a guy up who might be 250 to 300 pounds, and they're giving you their body, and now you might have a concussion because you thrust your head into a door on the way to the ring.
Yeah.
It's very unsafe. It is very unsafe, and he definitely needs to get over it. I think that's all I got for you, man. The only other thing I'll mention is they announced the date officially. February 4th is the day of the Q4 earnings call. It's also going to be the 2020 annual earnings call. My expectation, because Q4 is going to be a down quarter, mm-hmm. I'm hoping somebody on the call, again, has the balls to ask Vince McMahon about the numbers. They had their historic low rating during Q4 for Raw.
Oh, you know, over the next 2 weeks, if those numbers tick up at all, Jimmy, they're going to say, well, the political situation is now in our favor. Things will recover and he'll buy him a few more months.
Well, I also think that they're going to try their best to spotlight 2020 as opposed to Q4.
Yes.
Because 2020 as a whole beat 19 because the contract didn't kick in until Q4 of 19. They had it for all of 20. So yeah. I think they're going to try their best to spotlight the whole year. We beat 19. We beat 19 yes. and hope that they can dust Q4 off a little bit.
Also, not that. So he says Goldberg had a scratch on his forehead. I didn't know that.
On Monday?
Oh, I got to check that out. Yeah, also, Carlos Toro will be rejoining us for that call as he's really carved a good niche there covering those quarterlies. So we're going to be happy to have him back doing that. Also doing a little bit of other work for us, some freelance stuff. But 200 episodes, supersized edition of the list goes on. Even Jimmy, look at this.
Yeah, a little bit today, a little bit. I didn't even ask about Matt Cardona. I was going to ask about him with Impact, but I saw your thing.
He's not signed to a full-time deal as of yet or as of Saturday, but there are other companies that I've heard of that have interest in him.
Let me ask you this question. I have not talked to Matt Cardona. The only time we ever talk is about LJNs, so I've never asked him. Is there all these furloughs happen?
Yes.
Matt Cardona might have been among the most high profile guys. Him and Rusev, maybe Gallows and Anderson, probably the most high profile guys. Do you think that Matt Cardona might have priced him out of the market at the time because AEW was pretty deep in the talent roster already? Do you think he might have priced himself out and now he found himself, shit, it's January of 21 and I got to get working? Do you think that might be what happened?
I think it's possible for sure. Because, I mean, he's a guy that has been making real great money for over a decade.
Yep.
I'm talking like, I don't know how I know he spends a lot on action figures. Yep. We know that, but he's made a lot of money. But he wasn't sure he was going to re-sign already is the thing. And very clearly didn't have anything set up ahead of time. But I don't doubt that he's going to land somewhere in 2021. I'm for sure.
I don't doubt that at all. Yeah. I see him go to Impact, and I understand that it's just one taping, but I see him go to Impact. I can't help but think to myself, I don't think this is what he thought.
No, I'm sure that he thought AEW, but I also think that he'll be able to show a lot more when things open up. I think he'll probably be able to do, like, if he wants to do NWA, he can. If he wants to do Ring of Honor, he can. If he wants to do New Japan USA, he can. Yep. And he'll be able to show more than what WWE allowed him to. And he's still a pretty young guy. So
I think he needs to go the Drew McIntyre route. Once things open up and he can do independence again, go the Drew McIntyre route. Drew McIntyre, he was let go from WWE. And if anything, his work rate, not just in the ring, but his overall work rate went up. And when I saw him on Steve Austin's podcast, I was so impressed by Drew McIntyre, not just because he got himself in phenomenal condition and he was good in the ring. Did you see him rhyming off numbers and rhyming off demos and rhyming off? He has put the work in inside and out of the ring. He's in his position because he's earned it. And so I look at a Matt Cardona and I think he's capable of doing that too. He's capable of not just the inside the ring stuff, but the outside the ring stuff, and elevate himself to the next level.
Ray says, use him as an AEW Impact spy. If you mean for WWE, he's not in their bag right now. Like, he wasn't. He was offered a contract in around WrestleMania time 2019, and he sat on it for a very long time. In fact, when WWE fired him, his no compete was up about a week or two before his original contract would have been up. They fired him for the optics of firing him. It really made the difference of a few thousand bucks there. Like, that happened with a lot of people. Deonna Purrazzo had indicated that she wanted out. Ty Conchi asked for her release. Rusev shuffled his feet on re-signing. FTR, they didn't get released, but they didn't want to re-sign. Anderson and Gallows leveraged another company against them. Like, these are all people who had entertained the idea of leaving the company already. But we gave you all a supersized list goes on. Until next time, we're out.